What wind?
Well, you really don't have to do your hair. There's no point to it. One quick announcement. I don't know how many weeks this is, maybe three, maybe four. For those of you who have children, we're doing a little class on hiding God's word in your child's heart. You can pick up a flyer out on the table for more information. You know, the Lord has been working in so many of us in the area of memorizing his word. And so this is a great class to help equip you and encourage you as moms to start teaching your children how to memorize. They've got the minds to memorize. They can memorize so much more than we can. But take advantage of that. And for those of you who were here last week, we had our afterglow, and wow, was that wonderful. And the Lord is so good and so gracious to us. And I don't know about you, but he just kind of hasn't stopped in my heart, just continuing to speak to me and to stir me up and to just want more and more and more. And I love that. I love that he's alive and he's alive in me, and he just wants to move. He just wants to work. So we are in our series, The Shaping of a Christian Woman, and tonight we're looking at that topic of servanthood. And this is a huge topic. I think probably all of them are, and can get a little overwhelming because where do you begin and what do you say and what don't you say? But I don't know. For me, it just was a wonderful reminder, even over the years that I have walked with the Lord and served the Lord, that doesn't matter who you are or where you are, we all need to be refreshed and encouraged and reminded of this important area of our life in being a servant. Now, Jesus said, in Matthew, he said, no one can serve two masters. He said, you're going to serve one or the other. It doesn't work both ways. So we're either going to serve him or we're going to serve someone or something else. And there just is no getting around that, because we were created to serve. We were created for his good pleasure, for his good purposes, and he created us to serve him, to serve the true and the living God. So we have that within us, that need to serve. And so he said, you're going to serve someone. And he doesn't force himself on us. He in all areas, he gives us that right and that ability to choose. So he doesn't force us to serve him. He creates us to serve him. He creates us for his good pleasure and have relationship with him. But we can choose to not serve him. But in not serving him, we are going to serve someone or something else. And typically, that someone else, guess who it is? It's me. Not that you're serving me, but you. You know, it's us. It's self. That we will end up serving self. And you know as well as I do that before you came to the Lord, before I came to the Lord, life was pretty much about self. Decisions were made with self in mind first, and we served ourselves. So we're either going to serve the Lord or we're going to serve ourselves. Now, in serving ourselves, we can be serving money if that's the important thing to us. So we can be serving whatever that means to get that money, or power. A lot of people like power, to be on top. They like position, so we can be serving for that position, or serving ourselves in the area of desire and pleasure. Whatever I want to do, whatever pleases me, then that's what I'm going to do. So whatever we want, that's going to be our master. And that's who we're going to serve. And so what is, you can ask yourself that question, what is my consuming passion in life right now, today? What is my consuming passion? And whatever that thing or person is, their master. They are master, and they are the thing that I serve. So be that the Lord Jesus as my consuming passion, or whatever else it might be. Me, another person, a relationship, a job, money, whatever it might be. But Jesus is the one that is to be our consuming passion and our master. Now, when God was establishing his people and his nation and teaching them in the way that they should live and walk, when he delivered them out of Egypt and he gave the law to Moses, and that all that time as they were getting ready to go in and conquer the land, which they did not, they delayed, and they were in the wilderness 40 years. But during that first month or so, God had been giving Moses the law, and really how you're to live, how I want my people to be, to worship me and to serve me. And Moses, in Deuteronomy 6, he said, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." So God, right at the beginning, he established that his people, of course, are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. But we're also called to serve him. So what does that mean? You know, we hear that word a lot. I've been a Christian for so many years, I hear that word all the time, so I don't know if that word is even used out there in the world. I really don't. I do know that one time I had a family member, years ago, we were in the older building, I had a family member come who's not a Christian, and I was showing her around, and she saw the sign that said Servants Break Room, and she went, oh. And I thought, oh, you know, because to us, you know, you know what, we're all servants. But to her, it was very like, you have servants around here? Whoa, you know? So the word serve, and I hope you looked that up when you were doing your homework, and I'm sure you got a lot of good definitions depending on which dictionaries you were using. But it means to do duties for, to aid, to assist, to help, to give obedience and reverent honor to work for somebody, to be used for something, to be useful for a particular purpose. And then the word servant, of course, is somebody who does all that, who serves. And the words servant and the word slave, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, are interchanged quite often because they mean the same thing, which is interesting. Servant and slave. You know, servant sounds a little bit better than slave, I'm sure, to most of us. But a slave, and I like this definition, is a person, in the light of the Lord, of course, a slave, a person who is completely dominated by some influence or person. That's what a slave is. And we are slaves of Christ. And I love that because I want to be completely dominated and influenced by him. Now, with both of those words, throughout the Old and New Testament, they can either mean, depending on what their root word is, they can either mean forced service or voluntary service. Now, We know that God does not force his people to serve him. He wants volunteers. He wants the heart to say, yes, I'll be your slave. I'll be your servant. Now, in the Old Testament, when there were slaves, physical slaves, and they would be a slave for about 6 years, and then on the seventh year, they were supposed to be released. But if that slave loved his master and his master had treated him well, he could choose to stay. I don't want to be released. You're a good master. I love you. I like what I have here. This is my home. I love doing what I'm doing. He could say to his master, I don't want to leave you. And then his master would take him over to the door, put his earlobe on the door post and drive an awl through it, you know, piercing his ear or earmarking him as a volunteer slave. So that slave would be recognized that is a volunteer. And that's what the Lord wants for us, for our lives, not to be forced, even though we're commanded to serve him and to serve in the body of Christ, yet he wants it to be the heart attitude. Now, we know that Jesus is the best example of a servant, and he is the servant king. Matthew 20:28, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. That is a wonderful verse to know and to have deep in our hearts, that he did not come to be served, though it was his rightful place, but he came to serve us, to serve mankind. Now, would you turn with me to Philippians chapter 2? To me, Philippians chapter 2, these verses 5 through 8 that we're going to read, they are the most powerful portion of Scripture because of how it describes the Lord Jesus and what he did. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself volunteer, of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant, volunteer, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Wonderful verses, good verses to memorize and to hide deep within your heart and to just meditate on those. What that means in just those few verses, that Jesus, who is God in human form, he chose to leave heaven, to humble himself, to come to this earth, taking on that form of a bondservant. I will go and get earmarked. I will be the servant king. God, man, servant king, coming here not to be served, but to serve. He could have come to this earth and demanded to be served. Everybody should have fallen on their faces to serve him. And yet he came to serve mankind. He came and he served, bringing light and bringing life to all of us. He served by bringing healing to so many people. He brought freedom. He served in being kind and being compassionate toward people. He served by taking our sin on him, going to the cross. He served by dying on the cross, forgiving our sin, and giving us new life. The servant king, he is the one that we look to. He's the one that we are to model our lives after. If he, who he is, did what he did and came and left us that example to follow, boy, how much more should we willingly give our lives to him to serve? Jesus said in John 6:38, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me." That's a servant. That is a servant, is not doing my will, but doing God's will. And Jesus came not to do what he wanted to do, not to escape pain and suffering, but to do the Father's will. And then on that night that Jesus was going to be betrayed, he stooped down and he washed the disciples' feet. He took the lowest position that a servant or a slave could have, and that is washing the dirty feet of people that would come into the home. And he stooped down on that night. And turn with me over to John 13. Beginning in verse 12. "So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, 'Do you know what I have done to you?'" Now, think about that. Put yourself in that room. These are the disciples who had walked with him for three and a half years. They knew he was Messiah, but they really didn't know. They saw all the miracles. They saw all the incredible things that he did. They saw the love. They saw the compassion. They saw the tenderness. They saw the power. They saw all of that. They were with him every single day. They were serving him. They were following him like a puppy would follow. You know, because here is this man, and they're following him. And now they're in the upper room, and they get done with dinner, and Jesus gets up and girds his waist, takes that basin of water, and washes their feet. Now, you know, if you are familiar with this, you know Peter protested, you know, and good for him that he did. No, I should be washing your feet. But Jesus said, "No, you don't know. I need to do this." But he asked them, "Do you know what I have just done?" And I still think, for us, we read this, we meditate on it, we hear Bible studies on it, and I don't think we fully get it. I know I don't. I don't get it. I just don't get it. Here he is, God-man. And he stoops down to wash their feet. And he said, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, 'Well, for so I am.' If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." So he said, "I've done this as an example to you. And if I'm your Lord, your master, your teacher, and you are my servant, then the servant is not greater than the master. And so you ought to do these same things to one another." And he spoke that to them, and he speaks that to us. So practically, how do we serve the Lord? How do we do what he did? Do we get a basin of water and wash everybody's feet or start doing pedicures or something like that. You know, no. As nice as that might be, that's not what he meant. But again, we are created and we're called to serve the Lord, commanded and called to serve the Lord. Serving the Lord is supposed to be normal. It's supposed to be a normal part of every Christian's life. It is not just a part of the people that you see cleaning up or the people or pastors or leaders or people that you know they serve the Lord. Yes, they serve the Lord. No, it is for every single Christian. Every single one. We are called to serve the Lord, and it's supposed to be a normal part of our lives. And our heart attitude in that, because remember, he wants volunteers. He doesn't want somebody to murmur and complain when they're serving. But he wants a good attitude, right heart. And in Colossians chapter 3, verses 17 and 23, says, whatever you do, whatever you do includes whatever you do. So it's not just, you know, contained in these little areas in our minds that we think that defines service. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And whatever you do, do it heartily or with your whole heart as to the Lord. So if I do something for Donna, I'm doing it as unto the Lord. I'm doing it for Jesus in her. Knowing that from the Lord you receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. In whatever we do, with our whole heart, we're to do it as unto him because we are serving him. And that is the attitude that we need to live in every single day in whatever we do. Now, I don't know about you, but I will confess that is not the attitude of my heart in whatever I do all the time, unfortunately. And I kind of think that you're like me a little bit in that. But that's where I want to get. I need things like this to remind me. Say, come on, Karen, do that unto the Lord. If that was Jesus right there, if you're Jesus right there and I'm going to serve you, I'm going to change my attitude. And that's what I need. Someone said, they defined a servant as one who makes life easier or better for another person. And that is a good way to look at it. How can I serve you? How can I make your life easier or better right now in this situation or whatever, wherever I am or whatever the Lord is telling me to do? So in that doing things as unto the Lord and doing them with my whole heart and trying to make life easier or better for another person, then that really begins in my home. Do you know that you serve the Lord in your home? Now, some of us know that, and some of us don't know that. And some of us have forgotten that. Because, of course, you just live in your home, and you got to do those things, you know? You got to clean, and you got to cook, and you got to wash, and you got to do all those things. But that's serving the Lord. When I do it as unto the Lord, whatever I do, do it in the name of the Lord. Do it heartily. So that means when I get my vacuum out or my dust rag or I cook or I iron or I mop or I take care of my husband and I take care of my children and I do all of those kind of things within my home, if my heart attitude is that I am doing it as unto the Lord, then I am serving him. I am serving him and it blesses his heart. So we can, on a daily basis, serve the Lord in our homes and bless his heart and honor him in that way. And he will bless us on top of that. If we move beyond that, if we make a meal for someone, if we go clean someone else's house, if we run an errand, if we babysit, or if we return the shopping cart to the front of a store, we're serving the Lord. Because why? We just made life easier for somebody else. We helped somebody do something. We gave something to somebody so they wouldn't have to cook the meal. We cooked the meal. They wouldn't have to do the errand. We did the errand. We've served. This is just practical things that we do, and we don't even think about it as serving the Lord, or that we do, and we murmur and we complain and all of that, and the Lord's saying, not pleasing to me, not pleasing. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it heartily to the Lord, not to men, but to the Lord, knowing because you serve him. Now, God uses people to get his work done in his kingdom. That's how he's made up the body of Christ. And he has given talents, he has given gifts, he has given abilities to his people. He's equipped them to serve him so that he can use them in his body. Now, a few weeks ago when we talked about spiritual gifts, and in that chapter in Corinthians, chapter 12, we didn't read it at that time, but hopefully you did on your own, where it's talking about that we're all different members of the body, and if we work together, then the body's going to be healthy. And so we talked about gifts that we were given. Now, those are spiritual gifts. Then there are the talents and the abilities and the equipping that he gives us to serve him within the body of Christ. Those aren't our gifts. They're not our talents. They're not ours. They're not mine to keep to do what I want to do. Sometimes we think, well, because maybe we were born with a certain ability or talent to do a certain thing, that's kind of just what I do. But that's not really a spiritual thing. That's not really a serving the Lord thing. I do it for this reason. No. He knew you before you were even conceived. He's given you these things to use for his glory, not for our own or for really anybody else, but for how he wants to use us. So those things that you do well, some of you sew really well. Some of you can paint, or do artwork, or you're creative, or you garden, or you bake, or you cook, or you know how to organize, or you know, get things done, or you know, all of those different practical things. Use them to serve the Lord. He has given you those things to serve him. And do you know that in church, not just this church, but it does include this church, but in the body of Christ as a whole and in individual churches, if everybody in the body of Christ used their gifts, their talents, the things that the Lord has given them to do, if they use them for him, there wouldn't be a need. There wouldn't be these things of, well, we need two people over here to do this, and we need this, and we need that. You know, if we're all doing what we are called to do, it's just a beautiful thing. It's a healthy thing for us to all be in that place where God has called us to be. But you know what? Too many times, self really gets in the way, doesn't it? And our attitude sometimes is, well, I can't because I have to serve. You know, I can't because I have to stay late and clean up, or I have to teach Sunday school, or I have to serve in the nursery. Instead of, I get to. Oh, tonight I get to serve. Oh, I'm sorry, I can't because I get to stay late and clean up, or I get to make an extra meal and run it over to that sick person's house or that kind of thing. It's that hard attitude. And we need, well, we need to train our children, but if we don't have that attitude, we need to train ourselves in that and say, hey, stop that. Stop that attitude. You get to. It is a privilege. It is a privilege to serve the Lord. Look at who Jesus is, the servant king. Look at what he's done. And he lets me serve him. Wow. Wow. I mean, that's really something that I get to do that. Serving and giving go hand in hand because you are always giving of yourself when you're serving. No matter what it is that you're doing and how you're serving, you are giving a little bit of yourself away. So serving and giving. Jesus came to serve, and what did he do? He gave his life away. And so for us, serving and giving, and it is a good thing. Jesus served, he gave. John tells us that we, because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for one another. And that means sacrifice. And every time we serve, whatever it is, remember the whatever you do in word or deed. So whatever it is, pick a couple of things in your mind right now, whether it's in your home or outside of your home, in the church or outside of the church, wherever it is, pick a couple of things. Every time you serve in that capacity, you give more of your selfishness away to the Lord. And that is a good thing for each one of us because we're full of self and full of selfishness. And he, as we serve and we're giving ourselves away, he uses that in our lives to shape us, to do so many things, to do that heart check, that attitude check, all of those things in our lives. And it is so good. And I honestly feel sorry for people who do not serve or who don't have the attitude of a servant, because they are missing out. They are missing out on so much that the Lord wants to do in them, and they're missing out on a joy-filled life. So when I look at myself, or when you look at yourself, and what kind of a servant I am or you are, you can ask yourself, will my service, and I don't really mean this to be so heavy, but I don't mean it, but it's coming, maybe it's coming out that way. But will my service to the Lord pass the test of fire? And it tells us that, you know, all those things will be refined in the fire, and those things that are not done with the right heart motive, they're going to be burned away, and the other things will be left. Now, I got to just trust the Lord with all that past stuff. But where am I today? What kind of service am I doing as unto the Lord today? Will that pass that test of fire? Am I serving wholeheartedly without, this is hard, without giving thought to myself? Or am I a selective servant? And you know what? There's really, we call them selective servants, but there really is no such thing, because a servant can't be selective. But because we're volunteers to the Lord, we still have a choice. Serving where I choose and not really where the Lord chooses. You know how you can look around and you go, oh, I would like to do that. I don't really like to do that, so I'm probably not called there. And, you know, I don't like to mop, so I'm really not called to mop the floor, or whatever else it might be. Or serving who I want to serve with. Well, I'll serve with those two people, but I can't do that over there. Or serving only when it's convenient. I remember years and years and years ago, in women's ministry and I would need help and say, you know, could you do this? Could you do that? And there was a particular person that every time their answer would be, what do you mean? What do you want me to do? Well, I don't know if that will work. I will have to get back to you and see. Pretty soon I just thought, that if you serve when it's convenient, do you know if we served when it was convenient? How many of you would be here tonight? You know, it just doesn't work that way. That's not a servant. Or when it fits into my time frame, or serving only in the boundaries of my job description that I've made up. Or serving when I only get a thank you. You know, that's a hard one. Because we all need thanks. We all need to be encouraged. We know that. Because we're humans and we need to be encouraged. But I don't know about you, but how many meals have you cooked and how many thank yous have you got? It just doesn't happen. But the Lord sees. The Lord knows. He's the one we're serving. He's the one that will give us whatever it is that he thinks we need when we need it. Someone said that servanthood begins where gratitude and applause ends. I like that. That's where it begins. When you're not going to get a thank you or applause at all. Jesus spoke about, he said, and which one of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded of him? What do you think about that? Well, no, because that's his job. I think not, Jesus said. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants and we have done what was our duty to do. I like that because I need that. That's Jesus talking to me, talking to you as his servant, as you serve the Lord. And he said, this is what I've called you to do. This is what I've gifted you to do. This is what I've commanded you to do. So serve me in it. Serve me where I've placed you in your home. Whether there's a thanks ever. I see. I know. That's what I've called you to do. Wherever it might be, just serve. Now, we spoke about being a bondservant, a willing slave. And in the book, The Calvary Road, if you have not read that, that's almost required reading for Christians. It's just a wonderful little book. You can get it in the bookstore. He gives 5 marks of a bondservant. Number one, he must be willing to have one thing on top of another put upon him without any consideration being given him. I've been reading in the book of Acts in the morning, and you read about these apostles, especially Paul, who served the Lord day and night through so many difficult conditions. And I think about having put one thing on top of another without giving any consideration. Number two, in doing this, he must be willing not to be thanked. Boy, that Corinthian church was very hard on the Apostle Paul. Very hard on him. And number three, having done all this, he must not charge the master with selfishness and getting mad at God for your circumstances or your condition or the area of service or whatever. Number four, he must confess that he is an unprofitable servant. And number five, he must admit that doing and bearing what he has in the way of meekness and humility, he has not done one stitch more than it was his duty to do. Like, wow. Jesus said, if you want to be great in my kingdom, learn to be the servant of all. His disciples that walked with him, that saw the whole thing, they argued. They argued about who's going to be the greatest. Who's going to get the pat on the back? Who's going to, you know, have all the servants under them? And Jesus said, no, that's the way the world works. That's not the way I work. If you want to be great, and if you want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, because one day, we want to hear those words. We don't want to say, you unprofitable servant. We want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Because you were faithful in a few things, I'll make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of the Lord. So when we, to hear those words, we need to be willing. We need to be that bond servant. That Romans 12:1, therefore I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. So every day, okay, Lord, I present my body once again as a living sacrifice. I want to serve you today. Whatever I do, help me have that heart of a servant and be willing. And then to be faithful. Well done, good and faithful. It's required in a steward, Paul said, that he be found faithful. We need to be faithful in our service to the Lord. And then those verses in Colossians about doing it with our whole heart, whatever we do in word or deed. And then Psalm 100, to serve the Lord with gladness, joy in your heart. Oh, you know, as a mom, when we ask our kids to do things, we don't want them doing them murmuring and complaining and grumbling. We want a happy heart. And the Lord wants us to have a joyful, a glad heart in serving him when he prompts our heart to serve him in a certain way or in that, you know, he wants us to go, oh, good, I get to do that. Oh, good, I get to make coffee. Oh, good, I get to sweep the floor. Whatever it might be, to serve the Lord with gladness. So many blessings in serving the Lord, and he shapes our lives and refines us while we're doing it. Each time I serve the Lord, I give more of myself away, more of my selfishness, because I'm decreasing and he's increasing in me. And when I am serving him and doing what I've been created to do, it is the most fulfilling and satisfying thing ever. To serve the Lord is so fulfilling because you're serving the Lord Christ and it's eternal work. You know, when you finish this thing here, you have a sense of satisfaction that you've accomplished something. Well, as we serve him and are faithful to him, there is that fulfillment, that satisfaction of, yes, I'm doing what I've been called to do, what I've been created to do. And then in serving him, because I'm making my life easier or better for someone else, I'm blessed. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. So we are blessed as we give our lives away in the service to him. And then we are blessed because we are pleasing the heart of God. When he sees that heart attitude of service in us, he smiles. It's like, yes, that's what I've called you to do. And you're doing it as unto me. And it pleases him. And though this is not our motive at all, but there is a reward waiting for us. We're not going to see it here. If you don't get a thank you here, it doesn't matter. It's not why you're doing it. It doesn't matter if I'm acknowledged or not. The one who sees all, that's what matters. So for those of you who maybe have not ever experienced this life of a servant, of a bond servant, I encourage you, give your life away. Use your talents, your gifts, your resources, your abilities to serve the Lord. Just start by asking Him, Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to do it? And get into service, because there is no greater joy in that. And it's fun. It's fun. And then for those of you who are serving, who have served for many years, don't grow weary. Don't grow weary, because you can fall into any of these things at any time. God sees. He knows. You just keep doing what you've been called to do. And one day, we are going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in the little things. I'll make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And Father, thank you for your promises. Thank you for your faithfulness to us, Lord. And thank you for the example, Jesus, that you gave us. And when you asked those disciples, do you know what I have just done? Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes and our understanding to see, to know, to understand in a deeper way what you have done in serving. And then our response would be to serve you, to love you, to walk with you. I pray that you would speak to the hearts of those, Lord, who you want to step out in some area. Give her wisdom. Give her the strength to obey and not to hold back at all. And then, Lord, for those who might be tired, weary, or maybe they are grumbling, Lord, minister to their hearts. Turn their eyes upon you. And I pray that you would pour your Spirit out upon us. Continue that work in our hearts, Lord. Use this area of service to you to shape our lives, to refine us, and to mold us, and to conform us into your image. And now go before us, Lord, and I pray that as the women go into their groups, that you would just bless the conversation. In Jesus' name, amen. And we're going to break into groups quickly. So the four study and discussion groups.